I'd like to talk about not giving up. I feel like the devil is on every one of our trails. But he knows, devil knows that he's limited. He knows that he's limited. He can't really challenge the Lord straight up, can he? He can't do that. He can't take us out of the Lord's hands. He knows that. So he's got to do it the way he has to do it. He knows that he can't touch us as long as we're in the Lord's will. So he's got to get us out of there. He knows as long as we're in God's plan of salvation that he can't touch us. So he endeavors to get us out of there. Got a few tricks he uses to try to get us to move away from what the Lord would have us be doing. He loves to use discouragement. Discouragement. Come and discourage us in one way or another. A lot of things out there, if you get to watch and they're looking at it, will discourage you. You can be touched because of your humanity, my humanity. I can be touched by a lot of things in my life. I'm getting older. Things change. I may not like that so much, the things that are changing in my life. May not like it so much, and if I sit around and think about it, I might let it discourage me. And to the point that I might want to try to do something about that, that God didn't intend me to try to do something about. He's wanting me to resign myself into it. But the devil knows that he can get an inroad, so he starts working in that. Starts messing with that. The devil knows that confusion, people that get confused, it's kind of like, I've seen films and stuff on this kind of things. Wolves and those kind of things may come into a herd of reindeer or musk ox or whatever it is, and what they tried to rush in there in a quick way and disturb it until there's confusion. And they're reading that and trying to find one that's vulnerable and confused. When they see that confusion, they know that there is likely something that they could do in a moment that would put them in great danger. So they pursue the confusion and try to get to them. Devil's after you. What he's trying to get you to do. You ever hear the term jump ship? He's trying to get you to jump ship. Because he knows he can't do anything with the ship. So he's trying to get you to jump it. You get out of it. Get out of it in some way that he to be able to work on you. Get a thought in there. Get a little suggestion into your life that things ain't like they ought to be. Things ain't like they ought to be in this ship. That's a suggestion, because when things ain't like they ought to be in the ship, I'm going to make you start moving away from the ship. Get out of there. That's a suggestion of the enemy tonight. He's going to try to say, maybe in the process of, maybe I thought more would happen in my life, or maybe I thought that somehow this salvation was going to bring me a level of financial security in my life that it hasn't brought yet. And so I become discouraged by what I thought that it was going to do. That's a trick of the devil. Devil going to make you feel not content with the current place, and so that you'll start moving away from the safety that it offers, the plan of salvation in your life, peace in your heart, those kind of things. I want to start with a scripture in the 27th chapter of Acts. Oh, I'll go back a little bit. Oh, 29th says, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the collar as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless you stay here, Paul was saying, you're not going to make it out there by yourself. But can you really blame these guys for the thought that they had? They looked at this situation and saying, there's no way this ship could hold up. And one thing I don't want to do is go down in this ship. I'm gonna risk it. I'm gonna risk survival. I'm not content here. This thing looks to me like it's going down. And I'm not content here with this, and I think my chances would be better off where I'd have a little bit of ability to use my own strength. That's what they're saying. Let me free of this. This has got us in a boundary here. If I stay here, whatever happens with this happens to me. But let me get out here to where I can row, and when I can't row no more, I can swim. And let me be able to do something for myself here. I feel like it's gone down, and I'm going to go down with it if it does. And I'm not going to have any chance or hope. And if we don't let this boat down now, we can't let it down once the ship's turned up. I mean, once I went so far with this, I'm going to have to go all the way, and it don't look to me like this is the best place to go. I'm going to get ready to get out of here. You know, that's a trick of the devil. The devil wants to try to suggest that to us and say, this ain't what you thought it would be. You'd be a lot better to be out there kind of independent of everything, independent of the people in out there, and you'll be able to do your own, you'll be able to survive, it'll be better. You kind of locked in here with this thing now, and whatever it does, you're going to have to do, and you better be careful. And the devil wants to bring a confusion. I imagine there was a real confusion around there, but you know, these people needed to be thankful for something. There was a man that God had talked to about this situation. He had already got it from the angels about this situation. So he comes and says to them, listen to me. Listen to me, brother. Don't abandon ship. That's the worst thing that you can do right now, because the Lord's got His hand on this ship. The Lord's got His hand on it. It ain't gone down, brother. This ship ain't gone down. I know it looks rough. Oh, how many times in the tough times that I can say, it's gone down. It's gone down. I don't know what to do with it. You ever been in that kind of place? You ever been in the kind of place that every bit of news you get's bad? Every circumstance you see is the wrong way. It's not improving. It's getting worse. Getting worse all the way around. I remember that. I've testified to it many times. My first wife was dying. I knew she was dying. I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know the next step to take. I was done. I had prayed and prayed and fasted and prayed and worked and dealt and worked and was in a place that I said to the Lord one night, I'm done. I'm done. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else to do. I'm going to tell you what I felt like. I felt like jumping. It was abandoned time. The ship's gone down. My mental capacity gone down. Physically, she was gone. Everything's gone down. I'm ready to get out of this situation. You know, that's the way I felt. Give me something. Get me out of here is the way I felt. But I'm thankful that the Lord, when I got to that kind of place and cried, oh Lord, help me. I know why I was crying. It was more than just what was going on. I was fearful because I was ready to run. I was ready to find some relief and something. Lord, help me. And you know, it was like the Lord opened up the windows of heaven to me and just poured out the grace that I had never experienced before. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord will do that to our lives. He'll allow it to go to that point many, many times. And just before you sink, you don't. And just before you go crazy, you're sane again. And just before the whole thing falls out from under it, it's strengthened again. And that's the way that God's always going to do it. And my message tonight is, don't jump ship. Hang in there. Hang in there. See this through, because the Scripture says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. We look at the world around us, and I'll be honest with you, it looks like the whole thing's falling under. It looks like the moral compass is lost. It looks like the social standards are lost. It looks like our world's on an awful path going on. And I look at it and say, that's just such an awful thing. You look with your eye, you see all these things. It's not time to abandon ship. And he told these, and Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. You know what they was doing? Is making up their mind, wasn't they? Here comes the time. They're ready to get in there and start rowing for themselves. Paul says, don't do it. The Lord spoke this, don't do it. You know what cutting that boat loose meant? That's like saying, the last and final decision. Are we going to go in the last boat? Are we going to go with this ship? Once they cut the ropes, they lost their opportunity, didn't they? They cut it loose. You know that's what we need to do? We need to set in our hearts tonight, I am determined by the grace of God that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, I'm going all the way with you, Lord. I'm not abandoning ship. I'm going to stay in this and I'm going to do what Brother Salmon's always said. I'm going to see, he would tell us, I'm going to see what's at the end of a Christian life. I'm going to see what it means to have victory on the other side of this thing. And that was his determination. No matter what happens, I mean to see the end of this thing called a Christian race and just see what the Lord has for me over there on the other side. I ain't bailing out. I'm not jumping off. I'm not letting the devil run me into confusion. I'm not going to let him discourage me out of this thing. Oh, to say there's not some discouragement, there's discouragement. But I'm not going to let it cut. I'm cutting the boat loose. Lord, I don't have any bridges now. I burned the bridges. Left everything behind. You want to know how to be successful living for the Lord? Cut it loose. Cut it loose. Make God it. Make it everything. Lord, sink or swim, I'm going with you. I'm staying in the boat. I'm staying in your will, your way. And when it looks dark and gloomy, and just before it all falls loose, there always, God will always come to the rescue and deliver. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged out of the blessings of God. And over, there's been times that I was discouraged by the circumstance, but the Lord wanted to do something. And many times it was to the blessing of other souls that were around me. It was the blessing of my families, or the blessing to the own power in my own soul. And God was trying to get that, but it looked like the ship was going down. But it wasn't. God wanted to make himself real in the middle of the storm. It hadn't gone down. You remember the story of Jesus in the ship? Over in Mark 4, let's look at that a minute. Fourth chapter of Mark. It says in the 37th, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I want to tell you right here, that's a foolish question to ask. The Jesus that died for you cares for you. Jesus is not going to let you perish. He's not going to do it. When you put your hope and faith and confidence in him, he ain't going to let you perish. I told somebody in this meeting already, I believe this. If you'll go on, you'll make it. I believe that with all my heart. You just don't quit. Well, what are my failures? What of your failures? You keep going and you're going to make it. Because the Lord's going to make sure you make it. You want to be saved? You want to make it with all your... God's going to make sure you do. Stay in the boat. Stay in the ship. Stay in there where the Lord's at. They come and said, do you not care that we perish? But oh, it wasn't the Lord that was wrong. It wasn't the Lord that didn't have compassion. They was wrong in the way they saw the Lord. Do you know it was impossible for the ship to go down? They was in the safest place, not only on that sea that day, they was in the safest place in the universe at that time. It was impossible that harm or danger could have come to the ship that the Lord was on. His ship don't go down. It just won't. It didn't say that there wouldn't be a storm around it. It wouldn't say that it didn't rock with it. It's just impossible for it to sink with him on it. It can't do it. He's in control of the very elements that make it rock. The very thing that they saw around it, the one in the ship was the one that ruled it all. And he proves it in this scripture. Lord, help our faith tonight that no matter what happens to settle in the heart, Lord, I'm going to ride this thing with you all the way through. I'm not going to let the devil discourage me out of it. I'm not going to allow it to be taken from me, because the truth of it is the Lord won't take it from you. The devil can't take it from you. It's up to you. It's up to you. You're going to ride in it or you're not going to ride in it. The Lord has it there. You don't have to do it. The devil trying to get you out of it. You don't have to listen to that either. What do you want? I want to make a decision. Tonight I'm going to cut the boat loose. Because you know what happens in our lives? It's just true. We want to hold on to that element. That element that will rescue me if I don't have enough faith to stay in the boats. So I never really let it loose. I'm going to always have my life jacket, my life boat, just as near at hand that I can. Because I don't really trust the Lord enough here. I haven't learned to know Him well enough. Like these men, do you know how foolish this is? We understand how foolish this statement was. But they didn't see that. But it isn't so much different than the statements we make. Is it really different than the spiritual decisions that we make? To hold on something in case that I'm not fulfilled in my life, I'll hold on to something to fulfill me with. I'll keep a hold of something that'll rescue me from boredom. Or I'll keep something that'll rescue me from the situation. I'm going to hold back a reserve of something that I'll fall back onto. I won't commit to that. I won't commit to go all the way. I'll hold back something that will rescue me in the time of need when the storm really gets rough and I can't see. I want something that I can be a holder. I want to manage it. I want the strength of my hands, my care. I want to hold on to something that, because I'm too vulnerable any other way. My faith don't take a hold of that He's that real, that He's that there, that He's that willing. Because if we did, we could easily say, I'll throw the life jacket in. I'll throw the lifeboat away. I'll cut it loose and I'll ride it with you, Lord. I'll ride it with you because I believe that I can get there with you through whatever the storm is. Jesus said here in this passage, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. I imagine they were standing there probably with their mouth open, because they hadn't quite seen it like this before. Jesus had done a lot of things in miracles, dealing with turning water into wine, healing people, those kind of things. But this is beyond that. This is the elements. It's really hard to say. You know, I've heard people try to explain in a natural sense the miracles of Jesus. Psychosomatic. Somebody's sick, but there's something in the mind that can kick in. If you're able to hypnotize them to the point, the mind really has a healing capability. I've heard that. Have you ever read that kind of things? It was trying to do that. But how do you explain when the winds and the sea and everything obeys? It's hard to explain that one. Like it is to say that the sun sits still. There ain't much psychosomatic about the sun stopping. That's God. But they've seen God. Now they realized how ridiculous it was in their thinking. You mean we was worried about going down with Him on here? It can't go down. Folks, it can't go down. Lord, help us. It can't go down. You know, I don't mean to have anybody... I guess I'm struggling whether to say this or not, but we'll say it anyway. I was talking to Brother Michael before he went to Pakistan. And I said, oh, you know, it sounds like kind of rough going to Pakistan. I mean, to me, it was kind of rough. I said, you know, that sounds dangerous to me, I told him. It sounds kind of dangerous. I said, I don't think they like Americans over there. All that. I was kind of, you know, kind of saying, Brother Michael, he said, Brother Marty, I said, didn't the government say that you really shouldn't travel over there? And he said, yeah. And he said, I want to tell you something. I wouldn't go either. except for the Lord gave me something to go on. I am confident that the Lord wants me to go. And I said, amen. But it's real easy to say that amen to him when he's going. You know, I'll accept your faith, Brother Michael. I accept your testimony. Go! By all means, go! The Lord be with you, and I know he can handle any problem. And I'd say that real easy. I'd say in your situation, have faith in God. Believe in God. Oh, the Lord will take care of you. I say that and it comes out real easy. But when I'm in the boat, when my world's dark, when the Lord's called me to something, we need to have faith in God. Because the ship don't go down with him on it. Do we believe that tonight? You believe that you can go in the will of God anywhere? You can. Does that mean the Lord won't allow it? No, it don't. It just means you ain't going down, only up. No matter what he chooses, you're not going down, you're going up. Peace be still. Boat ain't going down. You all know. Why? He said. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you've been with me and don't understand? You can ride this with me. You can't go down. Ride it with me, he could say to his, my brethren, ride this with me. Stay in here with me. You can't go down. I promise you, you can't go down. You're gonna have victory. Do you know that they ended up getting a hold of all of this? It took some time, but they got a hold of it. These ones on there got a hold of it too. They got a hold of it. They got a hold of it in their lives. Peter got a hold of it in his life. He did. Eventually he did. He got a hold of it. Enough to say the history says that he said in his final day, don't crucify me upright. And he requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be up like the Lord did. I believe that sounds right to me. You got a hold of something. You know he take my life. Folks, you know he kill me once. You know, he bring harm to me so much. But the ship won't go down. The Lord is going to keep you all the way through. Is it possible to have grace in persecution? Is it possible to be tortured and still have grace? I mean, it's proven it. God's proven it. God's allowed it. And he's backed it. And the ship never goes down. I'm thankful it never goes down. Like to think of some other scriptures. Another one over in John. 6th chapter of John. Fifty-fourth verse says, I'll go back to 53rd. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, and he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What an if you should see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given
and to him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They jumped ship. They jumped ship. They had within their grasp eternal life. The Lord had instructed them. There it was. You take your own way, you take this way. Decision is to be made. From that time, many of his disciples walked no more with him. They decided, I'd rather swim for myself. This got a little too hard right here. That idea of what he's talking about don't sound appealing to me. So I think I'll just take my own way here. They jumped ship. Jesus then says unto the 12, will you also go away? I've asked myself many times this question as I've pondered this scripture. Do I have an area? Is there a place that I would go? Is there a circumstance that could come into my life to where I would say, this is too hard? It's a hard saying. It's too much to ask of me, Lord. I don't want to do it. I've tried as honestly as I can say to myself. Is there any place in my life to where I would honestly say, this is too much, Lord? I won't go. I will not go this way. I'll have to put the boat down and take off for myself. They did. And I'll have to say that my answer is, Lord, if there is a place, help me to know and strengthen that place. Because to be honest with you, I don't always know me like I think I do. It takes having to face some things sometime. But I'm determined, as I believe Peter spoke out here. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, there is no place else. I don't understand this any more than the other ones do. I don't have any capability to accept it any more than they do. But I've accepted this fact. There's only one way to go to heaven. And Lord, you got the way. And I'm going to accept that. So Lord, I'm going to ride the boat. And if it happens to come a time that I need rescued and thrown back in the boat and holler for mercy, have mercy on me, Lord, and get me back in there. Because there's only one way to go. And to stay in the boat through the trials and the temptations and all that. Because I'm going to tell you, the waters are full of sharks out there. The old devil's just waiting to get his teeth in you and drag you down more and more. There's all kind of things out there. It's just like the old story of the ancient mariner, whoever it was, Odysseus, I think it was, that the story was told about the island and the siren call, that beautiful, that irresistible singing that would lure them sailors into the rocks and crash their ships that they couldn't go anywhere. And there was a siren call on the world. Young people, listen to me. There's a siren call to you, calling to you to say the world's fun and there's so much excitement and things good for you out here. That's a lie of the devil to get you out of the ship. That's all it is to try to destroy you, confuse you, and get you away from the good, holy life of God and get you out of the will of God so that he can attack you and destroy your life. Increment by increment, line by line, he wants to get you away so that you'll be destroyed. Get you in your own lifeboat, swimming for yourself, out from under the protection of God and God's Spirit and God's life and God's church and God's people. Oh, how many times he lies to the young people, makes them feel bitterness to their parents, bitterness to the church. How many times he does that? And you know what that is? That's the devil trying to get you out of the ship. Because there's nothing but the rocks ahead. There's nothing but destruction ahead of you. But I'm going to tell you, in the Lord, no matter what it looks like ahead of you, no matter what the storms look like, no matter what the disappointments that look like ahead, his ship don't go down. I'll say for myself, in serving the Lord these years that I've tried, he's so faithful. He is so faithful to come in and help us in our times. Oh, he's let me go down to the times before that I had nothing left but a cry of mercy. Lord, help me. Oh, help me. But he's there. And he won't let it go down. Thank the Lord. There's been those in history, in the scriptures, that hung on. There was an old patriarch named Job. Job had some things come to his life, didn't he? And what did those around him tell him? Jump ship, Job. Job, you've got into a place now that it's a hopeless situation. You've got yourself in a place now that you just as well give it up because you've failed so bad. The circumstances around, see, that's what the devil likes to say, isn't it? You can look at the circumstances and tell you ain't going anywhere. You're going down. You just as well give up, Job. Job jumped ship. But Job's mind wasn't jumping ship. Job had some integrity towards God, and he wasn't jumping ship. No matter what, I ain't jumping ship. Naked I come into this world, and naked I'll leave. Dust thou shalt return. Wasn't nothing when I came, and I'm nothing when I go. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm staying in this ship, and I'm going to see what the end of living for God's going to be like. I'm going to be able to testify at the end of this day to tell what the life of God's about. I'm going to see whether he's going to be faithful through this or not. I'm going to see whether the ship's going to float or it's not. And you know, he put it all in the Lord. And it floated. The scripture says that the end of Job was better than the beginning. Not only did he get more blessings of material things, he won his battle. He come through it with victory. And he said, I think he said of himself, didn't he, that he'd come through as gold. Wasn't gold there so much before, but now I've heard of the Lord, but now my eyes have seen him. I have an experience now richer than all that before, and it didn't go down. It didn't sink. It made it through. There's been others not so successful. The children of Israel came up to the banks of the Jordan, wondered what it was like on the other side, so they sent some spies out. The spies went out and spied the land and come back. And 10 out of 12 said, there's a land over there. Said, it is. They all said about the same thing. It was just the opinion that they had about God that was different. There's a land over there, and they got thick walled cities that were like grasshoppers. They're giants. They're armed. They're armies. Big. Yeah, it's flowing with milk and honey and all got all these things, but we can't take that. So they jumped ship on the Lord. He ain't faithful. Wait a minute, he promised. Well, we ain't able to do it. And they wept. But there was two that didn't jump ship. There was two that always believed. Do you know those two that did not go that way? They did not jump ship when the rest of them jumped. God wasn't going to let them have the same faith that the other ones had. We're not going to have the same faith of those that jump ship. They jumped ship and there was a penalty for it. And I'm going to tell you, they went down. Those that jumped ship was not blessed. They went down. But those that had faith, there come a time that God let their faith be realized. What they hoped for, they saw. God didn't let their ships go down. There come a time that some 45 years later, they was able to look and say, Caleb said, my strength as it was that day is the way it is now. I was in the boat then. I'm in the boat now. It ain't gone down. Though I've aged, I still got strength because it's not in my legs and arms. It's in my spirit. It's in me. It's in God. God ain't going to go down. I wasn't me going to take the land to start with. It's what we tried to tell them all that time. It isn't by your own strength. I can be 80 or 120. It don't make any difference. It's God that's going to give it to us because he promised it. He promised that our ship is not going down. He said, I will be with you to the end of the world. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you. Just don't jump ship on me. When I try to bring something in your life, hang on to me. Hang on to the ship. Stay in there because I've got something precious for you. Don't bail out. Don't take your own way, but hang in there and you'll see something very special. But many of them didn't. But there was those that did. There's been others. Man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's time to bail. You up against it now. Oh, I know you had that little deal about not eating the king's meat and drinking his wine. But now this is the deal here now. It's time to bail out. Some way, somehow, you need to either get in the corner and hide, or you need to bail. I ain't jumping ship. I'm not jumping ship. I want to see what God's got just beyond the fire. I'm going to see what God's got just beyond the experience. I'm going to hang right in here. I know I'm not to bow, and I'm not going to bow. And I'm putting my faith and hope and trust in God when everybody, no doubt, I guess, I would imagine they even had some friends with the elbow saying, "Oh, bow, you guys don't know what you're doing. The old king's going to get mad, and you're going to be in for it." It's no time to bail now. You know, people, Brother Sammons used to say it a lot up home. He said, his experience was, he said, right when people need God the most is when they quit. They needed God and they didn't quit. They didn't bow. But they had to face something. But it didn't go down, did it? God was there. You know, that wasn't put in the scriptures just for just a story. It was in there for you and I to get encouragement with. They was able to make it all the way through. And you and I can too. We don't have to worry about the ship going down. We've just got to worry about whether I'm in it or not. That's what I need to worry about. Lord, help me. Give me strength to be able to go through it. I think also of another scripture. I'm not exactly sure. It's in Joshua 24. 24 and 15. For 14 it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which our fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, my decision's made. I'm not bailing out." Oh, we live in a time that if you want to listen to the movements of the world, they call people like us ignorant. They call us fools. People that would deny the science that's out there. Well, you're looking at a science denier right here. I'm a science denier. If they come along and try to say something against the scripture, you're looking at a fool. I'm an ignorant man, but I admit it readily. But I'm not quitting. I'm hanging in there at the Lord, the will of the Lord. I believe the Lord's done just what he said he done. And how he done it to confuse everybody else was up to him. But what he said, it's what he done. I believe it. I have a right to choose it. I do choose it. So whatever the wind may blow in the world, I'm still choosing what the Lord said, and however else he done it that I don't understand, I'll admit it. I don't know perfectly everything. I only know if he said he done it that way, it's good enough for me. He done it that way. And Joshua had the same kind of a... You could argue about what God was powerful, who did this, but our God done this, and the world does this, and Joshua said, "You figure it all, but as for me and my house, we're staying in the ship. We're staying in the boat. We're not jumping out. No matter what you said your God done. No matter what it looked like he done. No matter what kind of concoction you stirred up. Or no matter what else that had come along. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. And when everything else looks contrary, still serving the Lord. When they say that Jesus couldn't have been born of a virgin, he was." I'm not bailing out of that faith and that belief that I have in the Lord. And it'll pay off. Eventually, no matter what the Lord lets us go through, I believe there'll be one day that we can stand before him and he'll say, "Well done. The ship that you rode in could not be sunk. And it made it all the way to the shores of glory. And you step out over there safe." I believe that tonight with all of my heart. My encouragement to you here, get in. Put your seat belts on, because it's going to be a ride. My experience, I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be a ride. But the ship ain't going down. So buckle yourself in it and ride it all the way through. And I believe we'll all get to sing the songs of victory on the other side. You pray for me.